Now let me tell you a story about another woman. So I called another woman. I didn't want it to just be a fluke. I wanted more scientific proof that my theory was correct and the Bible was correct. So I called another woman and I asked her if she would do the same thing. She also lived across the country. I told her I would spend 15 minutes soaking her soul in the light and that she would be receiving dreams or visions about wounds in her soul, and that's how she'd know she was receiving the light. And then when she got a target, I would soak that in the light so that she could have a healing. So I soaked her. She did have a dream. She emailed me the dream. In this dream, she was in a bathroom and there was a bunch of young men in the bathroom with her. And they were each in different stages of using the facilities. So that's all she sent me. That's all she told me. So I didn't need to know anything more than that. I had my target now. So I took that and I spent 15 minutes soaking her in the glory light. And I remember I was releasing light on those, on the target, on anything that those young men did to wound her soul. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Jesus is light going on your soul. You're becoming sound in the light of Jesus as it heals every wound. Son of righteousness is arising upon you. And I just began to decree those things. When I reached 15 minutes and I was just going to stop, all of a sudden I heard the Lord go, if you go 5 minutes more and you fiercely focus, you're going to get the healing. I said, okay. He said, you'll be done at 8:02. On the clock. So for 5 more minutes, I just went furious. The light, more light. Jesus, your light. Filled with the light. My soul's healed in the light. I just pressed into it. And all of a sudden, I heard in my mind, I heard finished, complete. And when I did that, I looked up, and right as I looked up, the clock turned 8:02. To me, that was a confirmation that she had been healed. So then I contacted her, and I told her what happened. And it was so amazing. It was like 2 days later that we talked, and she said, wow, let me tell you what's up. She goes, when I had the dream, I knew exactly what it meant, but I've never told anyone this in my whole life, but I'm going to tell you now. She said, when I was a little girl, and I would wear dresses to school, I would get on the bus, and the boys on the bus would begin to grab my private parts, and they did this over and over again to me for many years on the bus. And she said those horrible events, listen to me, had plagued her entire life. Those sins committed against her had formed such deep wounds that she said that there was literally not, and this is not a woman that exaggerates, this is a very practical woman. She said there was not a single day where she did not think about those incidents, and she was deeply wounded by them. They had been affecting her for over 40 years. She had never told anyone. And now God was showing her the deepest wound in her soul after one soul session. And then after soaking her soul for 20 minutes and I got the confirmation she was healed. I told her what happened. And then another week goes by. She calls me back. She goes, I have to tell you that it works. Because now it doesn't pop into my mind all the time like it used to. I have to actually stop and make myself think about it and go, I wonder what's up with that. And when I do think about it, I feel a shift in my soul. I feel completely different about it. Right now, I feel like it's not even bothering me anymore. She recognized a shift. She recognized that she had gotten a healing. People, that's 20 minutes of sending light to someone, and she was healed of a wound that had afflicted her for 40 years. I chose to believe because the scripture said, amen. We all need to learn how to send light to people's souls and be like what Matthew 5 says. Become the lamp that's put on the lampstand that gives out its bright rays to all the inmates in the house. Amen. Listen to me. Once you start getting healed, and then your light starts healing other people, and then they start getting healed, and then their light starts healing other people, and so on and so forth. This is a world-changing event. This is how marriages get restored. This is how families get restored. This is how people that work together get restored. This is how people in the church stop backbiting and gossiping and contending and fighting with each other. And when the church becomes one, we become a powerful force that cannot be stopped. I want you to think about the people in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, you see the early church moving in amazing signs and amazing wonders and the kingdom of heaven and miracles regularly manifesting within the early church. Listen to what Acts 4:32 says. It says that the company of believers was of one heart and one soul. When the wounds in your soul get healed, you have oneness. You have unity. You begin being like-minded, thinking alike, having like-minded emotions. There's no contending. There's no striving. There's no gossiping. There's no backbiting. You're not speaking to each other out of the woundedness in your soul. And then because of that, because there's no disputing, there's no division, then the signs and wonders begin to manifest in the church. That's when you're going to start seeing the miraculous break out. Yeah. Yes. Listen to what 1 John says. 1 John 5:6. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship one with the other, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all of our sin. We're going to walk in perfect fellowship when our souls are healed in the light. And all the nonsense, we're so busy being offended and upset about what this person said and that person said and everything else. We're wasting about 90% of our time just being offended and striving and contending with each other. Think of all that time we can use if we're not doing that, and we can just be as one in our souls. We can be doing the things of the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven with its signs, wonders, and miracles will manifest in our life. We'll be doing the deeds that Jesus, the noteworthy and noble deeds that Jesus called us to do. That's what Matthew 5 says. It says, let your light shine before men so they may see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds. As you walk in the light and your soul is filled with the light, then you're going to walk in those praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds of the kingdom of heaven. Listen to me. It's very hard to walk out your kingdom mission or your assignment to do evangelistic work or prophetic work or be a pastor of a church or be a missionary or anything when you're being controlled by the wounds in your soul. The wounds in your soul are going to pollute everything you do. It's going to pollute the prophetic word that you give. Because remember, wounds control the way you think. They control your emotions. They control your will. You think you're speaking out of the propheticness of your spirit, but there's mixture in it. Stuff that's coming from your wounded soul. How can you pastor a church when you're full of wounds in your soul? Your whole congregation's got wounds. They're all kicking at each other and you. You'll be kicking back. I'm tired of these people. You cannot do your kingdom assignment when you got darkness in your soul and your soul is not healed in the light of Jesus. I want you to listen to what Jesus said about this. In John 11, Jesus and the disciples are on their way to do a supernatural work of the kingdom. They're about to resurrect Lazarus from the dead, right? And as they're going, the disciples say to Jesus, the Jews only recently were intending to try to stone you, and now you're going back there? I wonder why they're trying to stone Jesus. Wounds in their soul, maybe? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? Anyone who walks about in the daytime does not stumble, but he sees by the light of this world. But if anyone walks about in the night, he does stumble because there is no light in him. It's not talking about around him, giving him light to see as he walks in the natural, but no light in him. It says, quote, the light is lacking to him. And he said these things, and as he said them, he added, our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I'm going to go wake him up. Jesus was on his way to do a kingdom work. He was going to perform a miracle and resurrect someone from the dead. And he makes a very powerful statement while he's going to do this miraculous work. He says, you want to do works like this? You want to do signs and wonders like this? You got to be walking in the light. You have to have the light inside of you. We cannot do kingdom works if we're walking around in the darkness of our wounded soul, because those wounds are going to control the way we think about our mission, the decisions we make about our assignment, and the way we feel about what's going on as we do the work of the kingdom of heaven. It's going to pollute everything we do as we try to do a kingdom work. We have to be walking in his light to successfully serve. Jesus repeats the theme in John 12. He says this, you will have the light only a little longer. Walk while you have the light. Keep on living by it, so that darkness may not overtake you and overcome you. He who walks about in the dark of their soul does not know where he is going. He is drifting. While you have the light, believe in the light. Have faith in it. Hold on to it. Rely on it, that you may become sons of the light and be filled with the light. Whoa. Jesus is saying anybody who walks around in the darkness of their wounded soul does not know where he's going. He's stumbling. He's drifting. To drift means to not have any purpose. You can't do your kingdom purpose with the wounds in your soul. Amen. You're going to drift. But here Jesus says, I love it, man. He says, keep on living by the light. In other words, keep on putting the light on your soul. Keep on getting your soul healed. After it's healed, keep on using the light to keep your soul healed. Keep on living by the light. Then you'll be able to do kingdom works. He says, quote, keep on believing in the light. Don't stop believing in my light. My light is more powerful than you could ever imagine. My light is able to heal your soul so you can do kingdom works. He says, have faith in the light. He says, have faith that my light can actually do what the Bible says it's going to do. It can actually heal your soul. And if you apply it to your soul, you're going to be able to walk in more signs, wonders, and miracles than you ever had before. It says, be filled with the light. When you're filled with the light, then your whole body, your soul, will be sound and fulfilling its office. Jesus is telling us exactly how to do the signs, the wonders, the miracles, to go resurrect Lazarus, to do all the cool stuff. Be healed in the light. Amen? Amen. The kingdom of heaven is going to explode here on earth. When people get healed in their souls, and you know what? God will get the glory. Because that's when God's really going to be glorified. Because Matthew 5 says, let your light so shine among men, so they may see your moral excellence and all the praiseworthy and the noble and the good deeds. And then they will also recognize, honor, and praise and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Hallelujah. Did you learn anything tonight? I decree that you will become the lamp with its bright rays of light. That your soul will be so filled with the light that every dark part, every dark wound with the demonic attached to it will be healed in the light, and that you will be completely healed in the light, and then you will be put on a lampstand so that you can give your bright rays of light out to all the inmates in your house who are imprisoned in their soul. And I decree this for you now in the name of Jesus.